Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. We all know the ritual when you go to the doctor for yearly physical. The little light the doctor shines in your ear. The doctor telling you to open your mouth and say, ah. The doctor telling you to take a deep breath while listening to your lungs. But as medical technology becomes more sophisticated as making diagnoses, and as pressures mount on doctors to see more and more and more patients, and as electronic records, in some ways, reduce patients to data points, what happens to human touch? Suzanne Coben laments the loss of physical touch between patients and doctors in a recent column she wrote for the Boston Globe. She's a doctor at Mass General, and she joins me now in the studios to talk about her column and this larger issue. Suzanne, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
And also with me is Dr. Carol Bates. She is a doctor at Beth Israel Deaconess who has a long history in training residents at Harvard Medical School in physical exams and other type of exams of patients. Carol, welcome to you as well.
Thank you so much.
And listeners, we want you to weigh in on this. We want to know if you feel like your physician is more or less attentive than he or she used to be years ago. Do you still get a physical exam? Do you find that some of the exams that used to be done, some of the medical healthcare touching that used to happen in the exam room no longer happens? Do you miss that? Are you grateful for it? Are you glad not to have to have that hospital Johnny on? Let us know what you think at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. And Suzanne, as we talk about what is gained and lost with doctors, perhaps laying hands on less, which I feel is it seems to be fairly well documented that it's happening less often, I want to start with your column, which opens up talking about a recent change in medical advice or medical procedure in terms of the pelvic exam. One thing I think it's fair to say every woman dreads. And basically, the policy now is it doesn't have to be done on as routine a basis as it used to be. So that is a moment, for example, that in the doctor-patient relationship can be really uncomfortable. But you said that it led you to feel kind of melancholy about the state of the larger physical exam. So why do you think that's something to feel melancholy about?
Well, you know, my feeling about that actually surprised me, which is why I wrote a column about it. I certainly don't particularly like performing pelvic exams. Certainly as a woman, I don't particularly like getting pelvic exams. And I'm very respectful of the evidence-based medicine that the American College of Physicians was looking at 60 years plus worth of data when they made the new recommendation. But it seemed to me just yet another, not to be too melodramatic, another death knell in this sort of intimacy between doctors and patients. You know, so much of our time in the exam room is now spent looking at the computer without eye contact. We're outsourcing things like taking blood pressures to our medical assistants. You know, we don't want to be too nostalgic for an earlier time when evidence tells us that the earlier time, the things we were doing in that earlier time weren't effective. But I have a lot of thoughts about what might be lost, even if some of these practices aren't, you know, aren't evidence-based medicine.
And what kind of things are lost in your view? Is it something intangible?
You know, it depends on your definition of intangible. I think, for one thing, the data, not so much in the pelvic exam, but the data about whether the routine history and physical are useful in making diagnosis are somewhat mixed. But the other piece of it that's more important to me is that patients perceive in study after study that if the doctor touches them, the doctor cares more for them. I know in my experience, when I send patients to a specialist, very often, if the patient comes back to me unhappy, they'll say, I went to this person and they didn't even touch me. Now, when I read the report, I see that the specialist, you know, made a good recommendation, did everything completely appropriately, but the patient did not feel well cared for. And to me, that counts for a lot.
Well, it's interesting you say that because after I read your column, I was thinking about I had made a trip to a doctor a few months ago and I never even had to change into a little gown. And I was relieved, but you're right. It felt sort of when I walked out of that room like, wait, did I really get healthcare? We just chatted and the doctor typed notes in a computer. So there is something there that may be psychological, but maybe it's more than that.
And you know, here's the little secret, which is that from the other side of the exam table, I think doctors feel the loss as well. I know nurses certainly do. Nursing used to be a much more hands-on profession than it is now. And I've talked to many older nurses who have told me that, you know, they don't necessarily want to be doing back rubs like in the old days, but that something is being lost for both parties in this relationship.
Well, Suzanne, you write in your column for the Globe that when you went to med school, you were taught to do certain things, physical exam type things, that are now considered by many medical organizations a waste of time, like that little rubber mallet that the doctor would hit the knee with and to see if there's a reflex, or palpating the liver. So what do we know about whether those things had much use or were useless or somewhere in between?
Well, as I say, I think what we know is somewhat mixed. There was an interesting study done last year in which a few hundred patients coming into the emergency room were given initial histories and physicals, and it turned out that the vast majority of those could be diagnosed just with the history and physical, not with any testing at all. And that was true whether the clinician was very inexperienced or very experienced. But if you start looking at individual things like the pelvic exam, even like the heart exam, they may not affect outcome or diagnosis. But I think that's only part of the story here.
Carol Bates of Beth Israel, I want to bring you in because until quite recently, you ran the program at Beth Israel that basically was in charge of training doctors in training to do exams.
Of training primary care doctors.
Primary care docs. Give us a sense as to, over the years, how that changed. When you started decades ago, were you doing many more touching-type physical exams than doctors are taught to do now?
I don't know that our teaching has changed a tremendous amount in terms, or that what residents are currently doing has changed a tremendous amount. That said, there is a focus on technology, and our residents are often more focused on the results of a test than on the results of their physical findings, and that certainly has changed over the years.
I want to bring in Stanford doctor Abraham Verghese. This is someone who many people may know for having written a wonderful book, Cutting for Stone, I believe it was called, a wonderful, wonderful, absorbing novel. But he's also a practicing doctor. And here he is at a TED Talk when he was talking about how doctors tend to focus more on patient data than on patients themselves.
The patient in the bed has almost become an icon for the real patient who's in the computer. I've actually coined a term for that entity in the computer. I call it the eye patient. The eye patient is getting wonderful care all across America. The real patient often wonders, where is everyone?
So, Carol Bates, do you find that is true? Is suddenly the patient kind of this disembodied series of data plugged into a computer, and that somehow leads to less physical connection between a doctor and patient?
There certainly is less time spent at the bedside, particularly on the inpatient service. And if you watched Abe Verghese's TED Talk, he has some telling photographs. One is a historical photograph of a number of physicians at the bedside, a patient who's hospitalized, and another is a photo of a group of doctors sitting in a conference room reviewing the patient notes. And there's no question that there has been a decline in bedside teaching on the inpatient side. I've worked primarily on the outpatient side, and I think when a doctor in training is one-on-one with a patient in the office, there's absolutely still a connection, although there is the intrusion of the computer that absolutely, I think, does decrease eye contact and can interrupt the doctor-patient relationship.
Listeners, we're talking here on Radio Boston about the decline of the physical exam. Fewer of them are done now. There's less physical touching between doctor and patient as healthcare becomes more sort of digitized and there's a more reliance on electronic medical records. Call us at 1-800-423-8255. Tell us if you have seen that change with your own doctor, if you are grateful for it since it means no hospital Johnny, keep your street clothes on, or whether you think something is lost. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And Louise is calling from Cambridge. Louise, you're on the air. Your thoughts as you listen to this conversation.
Oh, I was just calling to say an experience I had with a doctor who told me that my condition would be greatly improved if I could just lose some of this weight. And at the time, I was only about 10 pounds above the lowest weight I should weigh. And I didn't really understand, but I came home and I looked through this big packet of paperwork he prepared for me and realized that he'd marked my height as being a foot shorter than I was, so of course my body mass index looked very high, and he never even bothered to look to see that I was actually a very healthy weight. Needless to say, I didn't go back to that doctor.
Well, that must have been a relief in some ways, although, again, a disappointment that led you to go to another doctor. Suzanne Coven and Carol Bates, is that an aberration, or is that much more likely to happen as doctors rely on patient exams or patient data? And are they more likely to sort of focus less on the patient right in front of them when all they're looking at is numbers and statistics in a laptop?
I can envision that happening, although it's a terribly sad story to hear. And one would hope that any doctor seeing that number would look at the patient and recognize the discordance. But I suspect that this is not the only example of that exact same scenario.
Suzanne Coven?
Yes. And as more and more patients have access to read their own medical records, I find that they're coming back and saying, that's not what I said. That's not what I felt. And really feeling that somehow that electronic record is, as Dr. Verghese says, is displacing the reality of the patient in the room. And it's a physical reality, and that is something that is, you know, so essential to what we do, which is why I think there is this, particularly among doctors of a middle-aged generation, a kind of existential angst about, you know, what will we be as professionals when every aspect of the physical exam one day is pared away?
An existential angst. We have another caller. This is Ketchy calling from Sharon. Ketchy, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I wanted to say, you know, that, and I've been a nurse for close to 20 years, and I've also been a patient, so I've been at the receiving end of this. So I have my primary physician for about 15 years, and I haven't had any difficulty or any problems with how he handles my care. But I noticed that every time that I have somebody else, I have to see somebody else, or if I'm referred to another person for a follow-up visit, that half the time they don't pay attention to me as an individual, as my primary physician does, because they're too busy reading work on the record, or they're too busy completing the data that they need to complete. So I feel like that touch is gone. So I think what's going on is, you know, the emphasis on technology is, yeah, somehow taken away from that, and they need to realize that there's much more to a person who is coming to a physician than their reads with just filling out the forms and sending the individual on their way, because there's most often patients feel better with having that connection with their physicians rather than, you know, writing prescription or giving me a lot of things to read after I've had a visit with my physician.
Ketchy, thank you for that. Carol Bates, could you address that as someone who has trained doctors in training? Do you find that you have to remind them your patient is more than just the laptop, this patient who may have worked with another doctor in the past? You know, remember that this is a real person.
You know, I actually don't think it's so much of a problem with residents in training. I think they do spend a fair amount of time reviewing medical records, but they are actually also, in my experience, attending to the patient and often going in depth. And I would just say that while electronic records have changed care, the example of the BMI that we heard earlier, I would say in the old days, we didn't actually bother calculating the BMI. So the fact that the BMI is calculated for us actually more often than not improves care and improves our attention to patients who need to lose weight.
Suzanne?
Yeah, and I think, you know, we need to be careful as we're talking about this not to sort of wax too nostalgic about the old days of medicine. I mean, for everybody, including myself, that bemoans the decline in patient contact, I don't think anybody, including myself, would prefer to have been a patient 50 years ago than now.
Although we spoke by phone with a doctor at Mass General. He's Dr. Daniel Hunt, chief of the hospital medicine unit, not able to make it on the show today. But one of the things he told us is that he referred to what he calls those amazing moments when you go to the bedside. He talks about you hear a crackle and you think, what does that mean? Where was that coming from? The kind of observation that you may not need technology for and that you may be able to observe more easily without technology. So is that the kind of thing that sometimes is irreplaceable by technology?
You know, Carol and I are members of probably the last generation that were trained by these masters of medicine who, in Sherlock Holmes fashion, could deduce a patient's whole medical history from their fingernails or from the whites of their eyes. And
maybe a little romanticizing of the way it used to be?
You know, yes and no. What I would say is that when you're holding a patient's hands and looking at their fingernails, I think more is happening than diagnosis. I think it's not only about the diagnosis, and there are very few modern physicians that would feel comfortable diagnosing a serious heart condition without getting an echocardiogram and so forth and doing it just listening to the chest. And yet, something is happening in that moment when you are that physically close to the patient that is irreplaceable.
I want to take another caller. This is Joan calling from Newton. Joan, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. Okay, really quick. I'm a physician and I'm a patient, and I learned physical exam in medical school a number of years ago. And I thought it was invaluable. And unfortunately, when I go to my own doctors, they are not necessarily using what they've learned. I think that the complete physical exam is essential because then you catch things before there's a symptom. And I also think that the reason doctors spend less time with patients is all about health insurance reimbursements that have really ruined healthcare. And doctors that I see would much rather do the old-fashioned doctoring, but they can't afford to. So I would like to see healthcare change, and I think that's the source of it. I don't have any doctors who don't care. I just have doctors who can't make a living anymore. That's all.
Joan, thank you for that. Suzanne and Carol, is there truth to that, that the way that billing and hospital reimbursement has worked has made it less likely the doctor might give a physical exam or spend more time by the bedside?
Absolutely. A few years ago, one of my older colleagues retired, and I asked him what was the one biggest change between his, you know, his prime in practice and now, and he said it was time. He was literally spending twice as much time with every single patient as he was when he finished his practice. And I think there's just no question that when you have more time, you're spending more time touching the patient, listening to the patient, making eye contact with the patient, and really practicing better medicine. I have no doubt of that.
Listeners, we are talking about the physical exam being on the decline between doctors and patients, that as healthcare moves more towards laptops and electronic medical records, oftentimes a visit to the doctor means your doctor is tapping away on a laptop. You sit there on the exam table with your clothes on. Do you celebrate that? Do you think something is lost in the process? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. We have Stephen calling from the Seaport. And Stephen, you're on the air on Radio Boston.
Yes, thank you for taking my phone call. I'd just like to bring up one other issue that I have as my company, for added benefit for us to keep healthcare costs down. They have us call this 800 number, and we're put in contact with a physician. And they're capable, and I don't know if they're capable, but they're able to prescribe medication for us based on what we tell them what our symptoms are. I've never done that because I just don't feel comfortable. I don't think that they have enough information without seeing me, you know, physically checking me over. And I'm always leery about that. And I'm thinking, you know, if they're giving me antibiotics, and that might be just another reason why the antibiotics aren't working as well as they did before, that overprescribed. But I much prefer going to see my primary care physician, who I hold in great esteem. She's very, very good, and I can't see doing anything over the telephone.
Stephen, thank you for calling. It's interesting you bring that up, because in preparing to talk today with Suzanne and Carol, I came across an article about the move towards virtual checkups, where you don't even come in. You just basically fill out a form. The doctor looks it over and kind of calls in instructions for some kind of treatment plan. Carol Bates, you're nodding your head.
Well, I'm nodding my head in reference to the antibiotic piece of this. You know, I think we don't want to overcredit the physical exam. And it turns out that for urinary tract infection, for example, we commonly treat people over the telephone. And for sinus infection, it turns out that the history is all you need, and the physical exam is actually essentially useless in making a diagnosis of sinus infection. So there are circumstances where phone treatment absolutely makes sense. The notion of the virtual visit, I would say that the, you know, getting information that allows us to hone in on what's most important, and saving us from asking questions which aren't going to elicit an important response is probably not a valid use of our time. And if we do have a questionnaire completed by a patient that allows us to focus in on what they're talking about, we can use that limited time that we were talking about more wisely.
Carol, would you go into detail about what you call overcrediting the physical exam? So what are its shortcomings? What should we not be nostalgic about? I mean, certainly medicine will always be a combination of a doctor's touch and technology, art and science, but what are the limitations of the physical?
So to use the example of sinusitis, for example, a very common problem, we can look for sinus tenderness. We can look for the ability to transmit light through the sinuses, which I happen to still enjoy doing, even though I know it's not a useful maneuver. And the reality is that it's really based on how long the patient has had symptoms. The physical exam, the limitations include, first of all, the inability to detect some things. There are portions of the anatomy that we can't reach, for sure. There are times that our physical exam actually isn't terribly useful. And to return to where we started in reference to the pelvic examination, I think there's a sense amongst women that when they're having a pelvic exam, we are excluding ovarian cancer as a possibility. It turns out that it is essentially useless in screening for ovarian cancer. And so there are limitations where patients think we're ruling things out when in reality we're unable to do that.
Suzanne Coven?
Yeah, I have two thoughts about virtual medicine or telemedicine. One is that just as a practical resource, it can be very helpful. If you live in a part of the country where there are no psychiatrists and you have access to a psychiatrist via virtual medicine, then that's a great thing. For example. But, you know, I never assume when somebody's coming to me for a sore throat that they're really coming to me for a sore throat.
Interesting.
And the body language in the exam room and that moment when you say to someone, but what's really going on, is for me just a really important part of the therapeutic process, and it would be lost over the phone.
We probably don't have time to go to another caller, but as the producers write up notes for me to summarize sort of what the callers waiting want to say, there was one that had just said, how do we know when we're getting enough touching by a doctor? Is there any quick guideline you can give about how we know when we may have been shortchanged versus got the correct amount?
You know, certainly the guidelines are online. They're well published. But I think much more reliable is the feeling you get when you leave the doctor's office. If you leave the doctor's office and you don't feel that your concerns have been addressed and you don't feel well cared for and your expectations are, you know, reasonable, as most people's are, then there's a good chance that you've been undertreated.
This is a popular topic. We have a full board of calls that we can't get to because we've run out of time. But again, a very interesting issue that many people, since all of us have healthcare a big part of our lives, are very interested in. Thanks to both of you for coming in. Suzanne Coven is a physician at Mass General and a columnist for the Boston Globe. And Carol Bates is a physician at Beth Israel Deaconess who trains residents at Harvard Medical School. Thank you very much to both of you.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
You.
And stay with us. Coming up, you may have seen them on stage at the ART last winter in the heart of Robin Hood, but the band formerly known as Poor Old Shine is back with a new name and a new EP. I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.